This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 362, up 4. December corn, 373.5, up 3.75. March corn, 386.75, up 3.75. August soybeans, 1224.5, down 40. September soybeans, 1098.25, up 18.75. November soybeans, 1056, up 9.25. September wheat, 537.25, up 9.25. December wheat, 552.75, up 7.25. March wheat, 573, up 7.25. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices did end mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. Technical trading at the Board of Trade helped to push grain prices higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 5 cents at 352 to 370, while soybean bids were mostly 9 cents higher at 1126 to 1236. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 5 cents at 349 to 370, and soybeans were 9 to 16 higher at 1201 to 1256. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 2 to 4 cents at 352 to 367. Soybean bids ended mixed in southern Illinois, ranging from 1166 to 1204, while the wheat bids ended 9 cents higher at 442 to 497. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 9 to 29 cents higher on Thursday, ranging from 1261 to 1316. Basis ended steady to 20 cents stronger, range from 205 to 260 over November. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 442.40 to 462.40, which was up $13.70 to $18.70 per ton, with basis steady to $5 per ton stronger, range from 60 to 80 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 4 cents stronger at 379 to 392, with basis steady at 17 to 30 over September. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 4 cents stronger at 377 to 385, with basis steady ranging from 15 to 23 over September. Soybeans were up 9 to 14 cents at 1131 to 1256, with basis steady to 5 cents higher at 75 to 200 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 2 higher at 374 to 395. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 9 to 19 cents with quotations at 1206 to 1241. Soft red winter wheat up 9 cents at 489 to 503, while the Milo mostly 7 cents higher at 379 to 427. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 335 to 345. New crop soybean bids 1006 to 1037. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 333 up to 346. New crop soybean bids at 1010 to 1039. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 339 up to 354. With the new crop soybean bids ranging from 1026 to 1046. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 150, up $1.77. October live cattle, 147.35, up 80 cents. December live cattle, 149.65, up 90 cents. August feeder cattle, 215.12, up 75 cents. September feeder cattle, 213.05, down 50 cents. October feeder cattle, 212.37, down 32 cents. August lean hogs, 114.82, down 37 cents. October lean hogs, 95.25, down $2.15. December lean hogs, 87.75, down 45 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 14th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 274 lower in the range of $96 to $107. with a weighted average carcass price of $105. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 to $5 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 75 to 81, 4 to 5 weights 82 to 85, 5 to 6 weights 83 to 86, and 6 weights and up 85 to 88. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $74 to $77. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 16,258 head. And now for the report from Rio's Livestock Auction from Wednesday, August 13th. They had receipts of 259 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 153.50 to 159.50. Select and choice were 146 to 153. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 140 to 141. And choice slaughter heifers were 154.50 to 160.50. Select and choice heifers, 145 to 152. On to the slaughter cows. Premiums were 130 to 132, with high dressing 143 to 147.50. Breakers were 111.50 to 118, and high dressing 121 to 150. 121.50 to 126.50. Boners were 106 to 117. And leans were 99.50 to 108. Now on to the opening report from Walnut. They had receipts of 321 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 150 to 157.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 138.50 to 143, and choice slaughter heifers, 150 to 156.75. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Direct Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 152 to 156, and on a dress basis at 241 to 244. Heifers on a live basis traded at 155 to 156, and on a dress basis, 242 to 247. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 359 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $116.19, and that was $1.71 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $256.74, that was 14 cents lower, with select carcasses at $248.57, and that was 98 cents lower. For the estimated slaughter under daily federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000, that compared to 114,000 last week and 120,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 406,000. That compared to 407,000 last week and 427,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. August corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.72. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.52. August corn delivered to Scottville, $3.63. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.52. August beans delivered to Greenfield, $11.99. September beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.39. August beans delivered to Scottville, $11.88. September beans delivered to Scottville, $10.39. August wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.67. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.72, corn at Scottville is $3.63, beans at Greenfield are $11.99, beans at Scottville are $11.88, and wheat at Scottville is $4.67. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. Yesterday, the University of Illinois held their annual Agronomy Day. One of the presenters was Fred Bielow from the Department of Crop Sciences. He covered different management strategies to increase your yields for both corn and soybeans.
Yeah, the yield gap, Angela, is that's the difference between what yields are possible, and they're sort of demonstrated by corn grower and soybean grower contest winners, and then what yields most farmers achieve. And that yield gap is fairly large. And we talked with growers about some of the factors that impact their management, and they all know the one that impacts their management the most is the one they typically have the least control over. It's Mother Nature or the weather. And boy, we finally hit a perfect weather year for corn growth. And so that's, if you drive around, you see big ears, some plants with two ears. And that's got us really psyched for some of the high yields we think we're going to see this year.
Now let's separate these out for corn and then for soybeans. So starting with corn, how can producers hope to close that yield gap?
So the way that we're trying to close the yield gap is to understand those management factors that each year have the biggest impact on corn or soybean yield and make sure that we manage those correctly. And this is where our seven wonders of the corn yield world or the six secrets of soybean success come in. It's those seven and six categorical factors that impact crop yield. And yeah, you know, weather is number one for corn and number one for soybean. On the corn side, number two on the list is nitrogen. I mean, every grower knows that. Number three is hybrid selection, the most important decision they make every year. Number four was a previous crop. Number five is plant population. Number six is tillage, and that includes conservation tillage. And then number seven was a broad category called growth regulators, compounds that regulate the growth. And by understanding that these are the factors that have the biggest impact on corn yield, this allows us to put together what we call high technology packages, where we try to optimize each of those wonders and then take advantage of their individual value and, in many cases, their synergistic value of combining more than one.
And I heard you talking about going to 20-inch row corn, how you think that that's the future. What about for those who are already planting 15-inch row corn?
Yeah, so the concept between 20-inch row and 15-inch row corn is exactly the same. It's designed to spread more plants out over the area. I mean, if you think about the plant, it's the solar cell and the light panel that intercepts light and makes yield. And the better that you could space out those plants to intercept light, the better off you're going to be. Now, one of the reasons I like 20-inch rows over 15-inch rows is because in a 15-inch row, I guarantee you're going to be planting a row in the tire track. You're going to have a pinch row. And in a 20-inch row, if you adjust the narrow row tractor and adjust the planter, you can actually plant without having a plant into a tire track. But the concept is the same. It's more plants evenly spread over the same area.
You just have to consider the mechanical aspect of it. Now, shifting over to soybeans, you mentioned the areas of success that you'll need to close the soybean gap. What would that be?
So these are our six secrets of soybean success. And again, weather rules. That's number one. Number two is fertility. What we see is the way that a lot of farmers fertilize. They fertilize corn and they let the soybean plant scavenge what's left. And there isn't enough left for the soybean to get its full yield potential. So fertility is number two on our six secret list. Number three is variety. Boy, farmers pay a lot of attention on their corn hybrid and don't consider their soybean variety enough. Makes up. Big difference. Number four is foliar protection. If you think about the way the soybean plant grows, it has multiple nodes with pods and beans at each node. So the protecting those leaves really makes a big difference for the yield at that individual node. Number five is seed treatment. Think about all the things you could put on seed. We compared a complete seed treatment, insecticide, nematicide, fungicide versus a minimal seed treatment. And then we also varied the row spacing for soybean. Narrow rows intercept light faster, but also result in less air movement. And sometimes with less air movement, certain diseases can occur. So our six factors then, we looked at the same idea. These are the individual things that growers can use to optimize soybean yield. Each one of those we saw can give an increase in soybean yield.
Again, that was Fred Bielow, professor of plant physiology in the Department of Crop Sciences. Also presenting at the field day was Ross Bender, a PhD student in the Department of Crop Sciences. He addressed a new concept that he's researching, fertigation.
Yes, so fertigation is a strategy where we can inject liquid fertilizers into irrigation water in a highly controlled environment. managing nutrients throughout the course of the whole season is very challenging. And we know water is a necessity, nutrients are a necessity, and they go hand in hand. So fertigation involves season-long water and irrigation management, but also nutrient management at the same time.
And can you walk through kind of what the system is exactly?
A fertigation system is a below ground. In the case of this, it's a subsurface drip irrigation system, subsurface below ground, consisting of several dripper lines that have little emitters that release water in right into the root zone, into the microenvironment, supplying water and presumably anything that you inject into the water right into the plant roots.
Now, setting up this system, it takes a lot of material to put in your field.
Yes, yeah, so the cost is quite extensive, and it's not as popular yet in a commercial setting and in row crops such as corn and soybean. It's very popular in settings such as high-value crops, including vegetables, fruits, such as those grown in California or Texas. But we feel with the higher yield potentials that are achievable in corn and the potential for higher commodity prices that this is something that could definitely be worthwhile or at least worth considering.
And where do you see this bumping yields to?
So we think in a year that is extremely limited by drought, such as 2012, the potential for improved yield is in the neighborhood of 60 to 100 bushels an acre without much question at all. But even in years like 2014, where we have ample supply of rainfall, we think there's still a yield benefit of 25 to 50 bushels an acre with improved nutrient management.
Do you have any guesses on how this will play out as the EPA becomes more stringent with nutrient regulations?
Yeah, so that's the challenge. The goal in a subsurface drip irrigation system is to put it on in a slow type of format. The name of the game with this type of system is low pressure, low flow, high efficiency. It's a highly efficiently used water source. Within that water source, we have potentially nutrients or other plant protection products. And the goal of a system like this is that you can pulse it, supply little amounts of water throughout the day, which makes your water applications more efficient and limiting any potential for deep groundwater leaching.
And I heard one of the problems that you were facing with this was rodents.
Yeah, so there are certainly advantages and disadvantages to every system, but one of the challenges in a system like this is that because you have things below ground, it's certainly a feeding site for rodents. So there are challenges, yes, as there is with any irrigation system, to control rodents and limit the damage that they can cause.
Now, for people who couldn't make it out here today but still want to learn more, you have a website that they can go to for their questions?
Yeah, the website is cropphysiology.illinois.edu. Long story short, go on Google, search Crop Physiology Laboratory at the University of Illinois. You'll find it without much problem at all. And you'll learn a little bit more about the work that we do in our laboratory, including the fertigation and irrigation concept that we discussed.
Again, that was Ross Bender, PhD student with the Department of Crop Sciences. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.